The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive.
Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I am Craig Wade.
And I am Brian Allen Delaney.
And joining us today is, I don't know, host of Long Box Small Talk, Bill Kirtner.
Let's say leader.
And then it would piss off Rodney. I would say leader because I run the show, but you know, you got to deal with Rodney, and that's just a whole mess of pancakes you don't want to get into.
Man.
Yeah.
Man, if Rodney listened to the show, he would be really, really bummed.
No, you don't understand his mentality. Even though you lived with him, he gets off any time that he's mentioned.
On anything?
On anything, yeah. You can just go out there and go, hey, you know, I was on redditpedo.net and saw somebody talking about you and your hard drive full of nasty stuff, and he'd be like, awesome.
Anyway, so we're gonna be doing an episode sometime soon with Rodney without you.
I don't mind.
Oh, we're splitting them up.
Yeah. We're driving that wedge between Long Box and the Small Talk. That's what y'all should have named it, Long Box and the Small Talk.
Well, Jake and the Fat Man was already taken, so.
Did y'all have a good Christmas? Do anything cool?
Not really. No.
Are you just throwing that out there, or is it addressed?
Yeah. I mean, it's the first one after Christmas. My God. All right.
Well, Bill was answering, so I was just going to let him go back to answer.
Yeah, I didn't have the kids. I don't get them till Monday, so... It was quiet, and we went over to saw the family and then tried to go see Hateful Eight, but it was sold out, so we came home and rented a movie. That's it.
Ooh, what'd you rent?
Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh, look at that segue. Okay,
Is it on VOD right now?
Damn it, one at a time.
Well, the thing is, when we don't have video, we can't see. Brian?
I can see you.
I can't see you. You're just a shark okay. Eating you.
I'll take questions from Craig Wade, please.
No, I was just going to ask, what'd you rent it on? Was it VOD only?
Xbox VOD.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I rented it.
Yeah, because I've been counting down the days till that hits Redbox. And if that was on Redbox, I'd be really, really excited.
It was worth $4. I enjoyed it. We both laughed. It's a really good, like, it's definitely a lower budget film than you would imagine, but still very well written, really funny, well cast. The three guys are really solid, and it was good. It definitely has like a super bad vibe, like a lighter super bad with meet Shaun of the Dead. And I recommend it. If you want to watch something that's fun and it's got zombies in it, it's really good. And there's the trampoline scene. That I thought of you when I saw it. So when you watch it, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Huh. Yeah. I would never put me and trampolines in the same.
You will understand what I'm saying when you see what happens.
Huh. Okay. Well, I will check it out. What were you saying, Brian?
Oh, no. I was just going to destroy our segue by talking about my Christmas.
Oh, well, how was your Christmas?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, mine was really good.
Dude, this is a monumental one. This is your daughter's first Christmas.
Yeah, it was definitely heavily focused on her.
Yeah, and they for the next, well, till you're dead, they are. You're done. You're done.
I've come to learn that. Yeah, I no longer really count.
No, you don't.
Just as a person in general, people are like, oh, you're here. Where's your daughter? So,
yeah. This is pre-Emancipation Proclamation. You're 3/5 the person from now on. So enjoy.
I think we went to different history classes.
What?
Did
you not learn about that in school?
No, I did, but I didn't know it had anything to do with children.
No.
Whatever. It wasn't a good joke on my end, but it also wasn't a good joke on your end, was all I was saying. Last night I watched a pretty cool movie called Bastard. Brian, do you remember us talking about that? It was when Peach was on the episode. It was part of the 8 films to die for.
Vaguely.
It was just basically a run-of-the-mill slasher, but it got really gory. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I really liked about it was that there were no good guys. So, like, you know how in movies, like, normally, like, the teenagers that are just kind of shitheads get killed first? Well, yeah. This one, even the good guys, quote unquote, were like serial killers. So you didn't really, it wasn't like they were just kind of annoying. Mm-hmm. They were like bad. And so anyway, it was good, but the plot made no sense. And then, I don't know, it was odd. In the beginning, it was very Tarantino-y. And so I don't know, but I would say recommend it for, a Redbox rental.
Cool.
It was cool. Cool. But yeah, been a very, very slow news week.
So, I honestly haven't really paid attention because of Christmas.
No, really?
Yeah.
So I have a talking point, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I was brought to task on the fact that I liked Jackie Brown in your Tarantino poll.
No, I
hear a little fucking giggle there. Yeah, real cute.
I brought you to task on the fact that you only put it at the top of your list to be different and made fun of
people. No, I did not. No, I did not.
Made fun of people saying Pulp Fiction, which probably is his best film. It would make like
I disagree. Please
the masses.
I disagree.
Such as yourself, Jackie Brown.
I disagree completely. I think people pick Pulp Fiction because of its iconography, because of what it was, and they don't go back and go, yeah, it's a great film, and it's one of my favorites to watch. But as far as this is one of its best, it's not. It's not one of his best films.
But Jackie Brown is.
Yes, Jackie Brown. My two are Jackie Brown and Inglourious Bastards.
I think Inglourious Bastards is a much better film than Jackie Brown. Jackie Brown, okay. Tarantino hadn't made a movie I don't like. But to me, it's very much one of his weaker ones. Like Death Proof.
Who are the jerk-offs that wanted 4 rooms in there?
That was Rodney's sister-in-law, I think.
Okay, well, I expect nothing less, but... But yeah, that's who the fuck counts.
Four Rooms really isn't a Tarantino movie, but we were only counting the ones that he counts. Like I explained, if we counted Four Rooms, we'd have to count that CSI episode.
Are you able to count? Would you count From Dusk Till Dawn? Because
no.
Because a lot of people say that he co-directed that with him.
And he might have, but he didn't count it.
But the thing is, like, he counts Hateful Eight as the 8th film.
Yeah.
So we went with that.
But he counts. See, what I don't get is he counts Kill Bill as one film.
Because it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because the Weinsteins split it up.
Goddamn Weinsteins.
Yeah. Did you, Bill? I know you sometimes listen to like Bret Easton Ellis's podcast.
Yes, I did listen to the Tarantino one and the after you told me the Eli Roth one.
Yeah, that one's actually pretty good. But Brian, he said that in Kill Bill, there was going to be a scene where she she was going to go to a rock, and depending on what the bottom of the rock said, she was going to continue her path to Kill Bill.
Interesting.
But it was only in his mind, like in Tarantino's mind. It was never explicitly written. So he would have had the scene where she drives out and checks a rock and then goes on her way.
Wow.
But that would have been bizarre.
I must have missed that part of it somehow, because I don't remember him saying that.
Well, they were talking. That was in the part when they were talking about whether he will shift his career into writing books. And he said, "Yeah, my scripts are pretty much books for me as well." It was right before the part that he started talking about how he knew somebody, spoiler alert for Hateful Eight, someone was going to get poisoned, but he was like, I didn't know who and I didn't know why, but I knew somebody was getting poisoned right there. So anyway, yeah, but he was talking about how he does, like, he writes scripts without a clear outline. And so that actually explains a lot of his dialogue, like the meandering dialogue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know, but now you say that, I kind of want to hear or read like a noir style book about him writing a movie. Because it's like, I didn't know who was going to get poisoned, but I knew they were. And it's like,
yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely can't wait if he starts writing books. The only bad part would be the fact that they'll be like 1,000 pages long.
Yeah.
There's no way he's going to have a filter if he's
so, like, a writer. Your opinion, do you really think he'll stop at 10 films?
No.
No.
I think his ego demands more.
Yeah, because he's what? He's 50.
Yeah.
50-something. And he was on Stern saying that he's more than likely going to stop at 10 films. So that would give us two more. And I don't know. I still don't think we've seen. I know he's wanted to do a slasher.
Yeah. I don't know if that'll go well, honestly. Like, we were talking about this on the episode. It's two Tarantino episodes in a row now. But no, we were talking about that, like, how I was really pumped about Death Proof because he advertised that basically as a slasher with a car.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he has the suspense beats down, but I don't know that he has like true horror beats in him. So I don't know, maybe, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's got more horror in him now than Eli Roth does.
Grief. Yeah. What did you watch Green Inferno?
No, because y'all said not to watch it. So I didn't. It'll hit Netflix by the spring.
Yeah. I looked at his Twitter feed like the day after it came out and people were just like waxing his balls, you know, just, oh, what a masterpiece and all this stuff. And it's just like, no. It looked like a WB cannibal special. Like, it was really bad.
It's the Eli Roth WB cannibal special.
Speaking of the WB. Did y'all see previews for that 50 Shades of Black trailer?
No.
I've saw the poster. I haven't seen the trailer yet.
No, yeah. Well, the Wayans brothers, you know how that used to be on WB. That's where the segue was. But not a smooth segue if you have to explain it. But yeah, it's like a Wayans brothers making fun of 50 Shades of Grey movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they've really lost their touch. Although I never watched those haunted house movies. Were they good? Did anyone see those?
I didn't see them. I saw the first two scary movies.
Yeah, I liked them. I liked part one and two.
Yeah, and the rest of them were shit.
Yeah, but that's whenever they got like bought out and weren't a part of it.
Keenan Ivory Wayans didn't do anything anymore. Like, he was like producer or whatever on the first two. And then that was it.
He popped up on a podcast recently, and I meant to listen to it.
He's like, hey, guys, anyone remember the Glimmer Man?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know they're bringing back In Living Color.
Are they?
What? Yeah.
2016.
Is it going to be like Netflix?
No, I think it's going to be on Fox.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is the original cast coming back?
I don't know about that, but they're also talking about Mad TV again.
Because it would be like Jamie Foxx and
Jim Carrey. Yeah, that'd be odd. Huh. I wonder if Damon Wayans Jr. would be in it. Because like, he's on The New Girl and a bunch of other TV shows. He's good on
The New Girl. I like that show.
He was great on Happy Endings. I actually like Damon Wayans Jr. a lot better than Damon Wayans. But
controversial statement.
Yeah. Is there like a lot of people like still quoting like Homie the Clown anymore?
No. I think you're the first person in 10 years to bring up Homie the Clown.
Am I making it up, or was there a Homie the Clown video game?
I don't know. That'd be something to look up. I don't remember that, but might be one for the records if you found it.
What would you do?
I think he just walked around slapping people and saying,
"Beat white kids with a sock full of quarters."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, That was an interesting beginning of the show. Yeah. So this week we're going to cover.
There was.
Bill, I want to say that you went ahead and forced us to watch this film.
I did bullshit.
Hold on. There was a Homie the Clown video game.
On Sega Genesis, right?
Well, this one says PC, but it could have been both. And hold on. The synopsis, Bill, is guide Homie the Clown through the streets of New York and smack annoying individuals with Homie's sock.
Nice.
I knew my years as a white rapper would pay off sometime.
When are you going to drop that boy album?
I was 15 when we did it. We never recorded anything.
You got 20 years of heat behind it.
I think the microwave's broken. So no.
We really, Brian, I don't know. I'm sure you remember this. When we were talking about doing a new Junkies album, we wanted to get featuring Boy.
Oh yeah, definitely. Bill,
can we do a song?
I'll do it. I don't give a fuck.
With a rap verse.
I'll do it. I'll drop a verse.
All right. Yeah, because I think it was Peach's idea. But yeah, I think that
he's a rap bastard.
When it comes to making an album, Peach has very specific demands.
Yeah.
Am I right, Brian?
He does.
He'll be like, no, I'm not going to play that part unless you let me do this. And it'll be something that just sounds so odd. I'm like, damn it. Okay. But yeah. And like at the end of like In the Ocean, there's that like drum machine part that follows. Yeah. He wanted to hand program it, like not like write it out. Like he was playing it in real time.
Wow.
on the thing. Yeah. It's insane that
is that the final recording? Did he actually play that by hand? That's all by hand.
Yes.
Wow, that's really good.
Yeah. What he was doing was like the part, how the hi-hat's like super fast. That was like an overdub on a separate track, but the rest is just him playing it by hand on a drum machine. He's very, very interesting to make albums with.
I bet. But see, I love that record. So
I will stand behind. That's the only good album we ever put out.
I put the new one out in 2016.
Yeah, well, that Boy is going to throw us over the top.
Yeah,
done. What do you remember? A little inside baseball here for everybody. We Craig and I had a show on Funny or Die called The Brown Dog Affair, and actually one of the demo tracks I sent you was a rap song.
Yeah, Muffin Top.
Yeah, you okay? Muffin, you remember
top.
It?
You know, can't stop. Got to make that ass rock. Then I gotta hop. Yeah. Now I'm gonna bail like Obama.
I rapped on it.
Yeah, yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I liked it. I just remembered, hey, I'm not a rapper. But yeah, but that's not to say I can't start.
There you go.
It's never 30, too late.
2 years old. All right. Well, we'll be what do y'all want to cover first? The comic or the film?
We'll let Bill choose.
Bill?
I mean, let's go into the comic because the film is going to be that's one for the ages to talk about. So
is it?
Yeah, I've got a lot of notes on it.
Oh, do you? I'm glad you do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back with our review of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Ghostbusters. It didn't really have a title. So, anyway, we'll be back with that.
Gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is filled with the new jack groove. Gonna rock and roll the place with the power of the ninja turtle face. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate the show while the turtles are saying. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go
Welcome back. That was Ninja Rap by Vanilla Ice. That's it. Anyway, none of us are proud of that. None of us are fans of that. But that was
the closest yourself, thing. Man.
Well, that's the closest thing to boy we're going to get on this podcast. And
you know he still plays that live.
I will. Yeah, yeah, dude. Yeah. He plays Scout Bar.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, so I meant to mention this last week whenever I was talking about did I mention that I watched The Ridiculous Six on last week's episode?
No, you text me that.
Okay, so the best part, though, was Vanilla Ice played Mark Twain in it.
Oh, my God.
Nice.
That was the best part.
Oh, remember like a year ago whenever he got busted for like stealing a bunch of shit from a house that he was renovating?
Yeah.
Is that where he lost his show?
Did he lose his show?
I don't know. Does it still come on?
I think the show was gone before that. I don't think he still had it anymore. I don't know.
All right, let's be honest. Have any of y'all watched multiple episodes of that show?
Yep.
I got sucked into a loop. I saw one at my mom's. She was watching it, and I was just like,
It's great though. Whenever like it had this like slow motion like to rap beat of him like just uprooting a tree and like looking hard like it's a rap video. Yeah, it wasn't very good. But speaking of which, things that aren't very good, we covered this week. We read the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Ghostbuster crossover, and I haven't talked to y'all. I don't know if y'all liked it a lot. I will go ahead and put it out there for two franchises like that I totally love. This was very mediocre.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay.
Like I was not, I couldn't figure out if it was like the fact that they just don't translate very well on paper or what. I mean, because I've read like some really early Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle stuff, but I haven't read like any of the more recent comics, nor have I ever read a Ghostbusters comic. So I was like, maybe it just doesn't translate well for me.
Well, but see, I've read a lot of the old Ninja Turtles ones, like the Image ones and the old Eastman and Laird ones. But I've also read the majority of this IDW run, right?
Uh-huh.
And I actually really like the IDW run. Have you read any of those, Bill?
No, I haven't read any of the newer stuff. I grew up reading the Eastman and Laird ones,
mm-hmm.
and loved them. And I love the darker tone of it. But this to me was this wasn't to me. Again, I'm not affiliated with either of the worlds in the comics. To me, this was somebody taking the cartoons and making cartoon adaptations of the putting these together.
Yeah. I can see that.
And obviously they can't afford the likeness of any of the Ghostbusters because none of them look anywhere near. They don't even look like the cartoon now. It's like, I don't know.
The only one I could tell was I could tell Egon, I could tell Janine, and obviously Winston.
What part gave Winston away?
I don't know.
Wait, and also on Winston. Now Winston's a Marine?
Yeah, I read that. I thought that he was just like some dude.
To be
that
they fair, pulled off
the streets.
There wasn't really a backstory for anyone in the original Ghostbusters movie. It was Winston needed a job.
Yeah, that's
he all could I have knew, been but, a Marine. I don't know.
Yeah, but usually people that were Marines would be like, "Hey, I'm a Marine," and that kind of helps them get the job. But instead, it's like, "Hey, I'm Winston, and I'm a person as well."
It's like a black guy just walked by a firehouse and was like, now hiring. He's like, great, need a job.
Yeah. I've actually heard that his original part in the script was much, much bigger, and he's always been pissed off about that.
I could see why, you know.
Yeah. But he's like equally known. He's like not really known that much for being a Ghostbuster, but more of his role in The Crow.
Or that dude in the Congo.
Only
he was in that.
Yeah,
dude, Congo is such a shitty movie.
Dude, I watched that like 2 weeks ago.
And
you're right.
Yeah. And dude, do you remember when we were like 12 and
Congo was the best movie ever?
Yes. And we were like, Congo is the shit. I can't believe they got a monkey to do all this. And then now it's just like, oh my God, that's easily someone in a suit.
Yeah.
All I was going to say is that we were retards when we were 12.
Tim Curry's in it, though. So that's a redeeming factor.
That's pre-stroke Tim Curry. Mind you. Oh,
man. Yeah. He hadn't really done much since his debilitating stroke.
Yeah.
Way to throw some light on that.
Well, here's one of my notes. I think this would have been a great, like, animated DVD movie.
Exactly. I was thinking of this. If this was like Jetsons meets the Flintstones,
yes.
I'm in. But
they got a couple of characters, like they got Michelangelo right, because his quips in there worked. They got the fact that Leonardo is bossy. Donatello is obviously the nerd, and Ralph is obviously the hothead. So they got those guys right. The Ghostbusters honestly ended up getting kind of put on the back burner. Although the problem is you can't, because of character design, sometimes you can't tell if Ray is talking or if Pete's talking.
Yep.
See, I agree with you on the characterization of the turtles, yeah. Right? And I feel like instead of making Venkman, they made him Bill Murray from the Garfield movie.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I wanted him to talk about lasagna the whole time.
Like, but you know what I'm saying?
Like, so Mondays, right?
But I mean, it was just a bunch of like kind of crappy one-liners, except for there was one or two of them that I actually really laughed at. But it was just dumb.
Did you write those down in your dream journal?
Yeah. I was just imagining
Brian my hope chest.
Flipping through the book.
No, yeah, but I mean, like, it was interesting to see, you know, especially Donnie and the nerdier Ghostbusters, but that was it. You know, like,
what's up? Huh? What's up with the Hot Topic chick?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I think she's a new character from the IDW run, but I don't.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, I haven't read any of the Ghostbusters ones for some reason. And I'll talk a little bit more. But like the art style of the actual Ghostbusters bothers me.
Yeah. Like, well, I didn't. I thought that. See, I felt the same way about the turtles. I thought they looked like weird Renaissance painting, squashed, chubby turtles. They weren't kind of. In the beginning of the book, they look great because I think their regular artists were doing them, and yeah. Then they switched over to whoever was doing them.
And if you look in the first episode or the first issue, there's like three different artists, yes, right?
I did see that.
I usually hate whenever that happens, but they did it because there's three different things going on. There's like the Ghostbusters world, the Ninja Turtles world, and then like a flashback to feudal Japan, right? Yes. And the feudal Japan one and the Ninja Turtles ones look exactly like the regular Ninja Turtles artist, right? Because they do that a lot. Whenever they flip back to the feudal stuff, they go to that artist,
yeah, right?
And so it makes sense. But if you look at the IDW or like the regular Ninja Turtles one in that issue, they look a little bit different because in the new IDW, they're literally like teenagers. They're like 13.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
They're like really, really young. I don't know if it's 13, but they're like really young.
Let's check that out then.
So, I don't know. They look a little bit like more cartoony, a little bit more like rounder.
Yeah,
I guess. And then you're right. Whenever it kicks into the Ghostbusters world, they're squatty.
Yeah, there's a lot of hard edges on them and they're squatty. And one of the things I noticed definitely in the beginning of the story, and I've got a few notes on this. The beginning of the story is the opening of Avengers, the movie. Huh. Did anybody else pick this up? It's a portal.
No, I didn't.
A portal opens up, and then somebody gets zapped with a Loki pokey stick, and Casey Jones becomes Hawkeye. No one else picked that up. I'm like, that's just fucking Avengers.
Yeah.
That's pretty undeniable.
And then also, it's kind of Avengers 2.
No, because I didn't fall asleep.
Oh, October 2014 is whenever the first one came out.
Yeah, so it's way after the first Avengers movie. So they, yeah, and the other thing that bummed me out is in the beginning of the story, we have Krang.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. All I wanted was some more Krang.
So you're saying life, if it was Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man sized Krang that the Ghostbusters were fighting, it would have been better.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, the demon they fought all through this was cool.
Boring?
No, he was cool, but it would have been great to end him by issue two and have somebody else for the other two issues. You know, yeah. Maybe Krang could have come in and something else could have popped up. But it was, and especially the art on the demon, the Chiyu or Shiyu or whatever, that was really neat, and it looked great. Looked very kind of Disney animation in a way.
Yeah.
But I just thought he was good. He would have been good to defeat in two issues, and then they could have had something else.
Well, they drug it on too long, because anytime something bad or anytime he would start losing, he would just retreat.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, I'll see you next issue.
Yeah, it reminded me of a video game where you're
Donkey Kong. Whoa, like, hold on the catchphrase there, okay? You know, see you next issue. I think somebody says that. Somebody says that on
you
your show.
You do kind of remind me of Chi Yu, though.
Oh, you dick.
you got that one shoulder pad with horns.
That was my biggest problem with it, was that he was just boring.
Yeah.
So boring, because there was nothing at stake here, you know? And I think that might be my problem with like crossovers in general. Nothing's at stake because they have to go back to their own stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It would have been insane had they like beheaded Raph. You know, done something just to be like, what?
That's what I like about Savage Dragon, right? Is they had a Savage Dragon Mars Attacks crossover issue, right? Because there was a Mars Attacks the Image Universe at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And it actually is part of their history. And so every once in a while, like Mars Attacks tech will come like popping back up and stuff, and people will have like UFOs and crap. But it's just because it actually happened in the real continuity of the comic book.
You have to love Eric Larson for that. I mean, that's one of those series that they never stopped the series, and that started in 92 or 93.
Yeah.
It's been going now.
92 was like the original miniseries, I think, and the 93 was the actual series.
So for nearly 24 years, he's been going straight. He hasn't stopped it. Mm-hmm. He's done all kinds of crazy shit, and he still keeps the continuity. You got to give him credit where credit's due.
Oh, I still read Savage Dragon.
I got to start from the beginning and just go through it, because I loved it. I have one thing to say. At what point did April O'Neil stop being a reporter and now she's a scientist?
I don't know.
I think, honestly, it was probably to coincide with the new movie, because her dad's like a scientist, right? And it was just like, I don't know. They probably kind of pushed that into her backstory that she was like an engineering student or something. But if you're already on television being a newscaster, don't you probably have a journalism degree?
I would think so.
More than likely. All that this actually made me like want was just to see the new Ninja Turtles
movie. Oh, fuck yeah.
Or not so much the new Ghostbusters movie at all.
No.
I don't know. I'm excited for it. I know it's not going to be like the same as the original Ghostbusters, but I still want to see it.
Well, I'm going to watch it, but it's not. I don't know. It bums me out. It doesn't detract from my life in any way. But
I would rather watch the VHS of the Pizza Hut Ninja Turtles Broadway
out of their
shows. Yeah, the Broadway show and double that with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, Turtles in Time, and have my back shaved with a rusty tuna can, then watch the new Ghostbusters fiasco.
So do you want to go with me like to the theater and watch it?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. It just, who's in the cast? It's Kristen Wiig, which is a plus. Lady from SNL, or two of Kate McKinnon and the other lady from
SNL. Giant lady.
Yeah.
It's like female Shaq.
Yeah. What is her name? Does anyone know? I hate her on SNL. So
occasionally she's okay. Like
like Rebel Wilson. So
sometimes she reminds me of female Tracy Morgan. Sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when she's in female Tracy Morgan movie mode, I like her. But then some of her recurring characters, I just
You know, she's like 50.
Yeah. Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig. Yeah.
I thought it was Rebel Wilson.
I'm glad Rebel Wilson's not, because I would vomit. I can't stand her.
I'm not a
Leslie Jones
fan
is her name.
Leslie Jones, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Like, I'll watch it. Kristen Wiig's usually awesome. But that's all I got. All right. I don't know. It's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But the new Ninja Turtles looks totally great.
Oh, yeah. I got to say, I've said it on our show. I think I'm most excited next year for Ninja Turtles than pretty much anything else. Even Rogue One.
I didn't hate the first one.
I don't hate I like the first one. I really liked it.
I think it was, you know, because everybody's like, oh, it's a little kid's movie. Well, so were all the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Part one, that's debatable. It gets pretty dark.
Yeah, but they don't like it's not Eastman and Laird dark where they decapitate Shredder in the end of the first issue.
No, but they kill a man at the end of it and then crush him in a garbage can.
No, he lives because he comes back in number two. And yeah, then they but he do comes Super back Shredder.
Because of like sewage waste and mutagen and all that. I don't know. I mean, if you only saw the first one, you would think like when parents left the theater with their kids, they were like, wow, I just took them to a film where they crushed a guy at the end.
But they danced. They danced after they did it.
Yeah. They ate a lot of pizza.
So it's like Bollywood standards. You just show whatever as long as dancing happens.
In Bollywood, we beat women, and then we dance, and everything's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, all in all, I would not recommend. I'm not even going to rate this from a 1 to 5, but I would not recommend anyone waste the time.
I got one more thing that really it took me out of it a lot was once it got into like issue 2 through 4 and you were on the standard Ghostbusters
getting to
artist,
know you.
Right? Yeah. And you were on the standard Ghostbuster artist. All the faces looked the same. Like it was the same like face, but then a different mouth. Right.
Yeah.
Or what was even worse was the goth chick, Kylie, and Janine were the exact same person, just recolored.
Yep. It's kind of like Disney princesses.
Yeah. And they had a conversation in a couple of panels where it was just basically the same head talking to the same head.
Yep. Yeah. So if you were colorblind, you'd be totally fucked.
When did Janine get a twin?
So I don't know. I mean, it was I don't know. I mean, I guess in a way it could be fun. I'm not sure if I had fun because of little nitpicky things like that, but
I just didn't have fun because it was boring.
Yeah. I got to go I encompass all of that. It was boring. It was mediocre.
The art didn't kill it for me, honestly. Art usually doesn't make or break it to me.
Well, I mean, it was just the panel or the pages where they would be in the car talking or something like that. And if you look at like every single one of Winston's heads, they're exactly the same, you know?
Yeah.
And I get that like Marvel does that a lot, like especially in like Bendis books where it'll be a page conversation where they'll say like two lines. You know what I'm talking about, Bill?
Yep.
So, I mean, I get that that's a thing, but like, I don't know. It just threw me off. I mean, I don't like it when it happens in Marvel books either. So,
yeah. IDW, they're very hit or miss. Like, I just got the first issue of the new Judge Dredd because I grew up reading that. I love Judge Dredd. And what a piece of shit. They really, they really screwed the pooch on this one. So,
well, was it based on the Sylvester Stallone movie?
No. It's basically they time displaced him. He's in the very far future, and it just wasn't good. They were like, well, we're trying a new bold new territory for him. We're going to change it up. I'm like, no, you don't have to with Judge Dredd. It's got a good formula. Leave it be.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. I don't know. I kind of felt bad though about, because this was my choice as far as the comic went. It was my suggestion, I'll put it that way, to do a crossover comic since this is a crossover episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I just was thinking through my head of any other crossover comics that we could have done and just like, oh my God, I can't imagine any of them being worse.
We should have gone back and did like the old Marvel DC ones from the 90s.
Oh God.
Were they bad?
Yeah, some of them were.
Dude, like the DC versus Marvel that Perez did. That one was awesome.
Oh, okay, you're talking about the actual comic. I'm talking about Amalgam.
Oh, dude, some of those were amazing. Like Darkclaw. Yeah,
some were great and some were just ooh, bad. But yeah.
Yeah. So 2.5, 2 maybe?
I'd say if I had to rate it 2 out of 5.
I agree.
Well, that's anyway, that.
Avoid that turd. We'll be back with our review of Yakuza Apocalypse.
Off in the distance, the game's dragging on. There's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. But suddenly, everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wondering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above, and a baseball falls into my glove. I play right field. It's important you know, you gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I play in right field, way out where the dandelions grow.
As a proud sponsor of Little League Baseball, Pizza Hut welcomes all the kids who make it great.
Making it great.
Okay, now we got Yakuza Apocalypse. Yeah. Directed by Takashi Miike.
Takashi Miike. Come on, give there some respect.
So maybe I shouldn't have been the one to do this then.
Takashi Mike.
Mike Takashi. But anyway, basically, it's your average boy meets vampire, boy becomes vampire, boy starts a giant Yakuza
you're
group.
Totally shitting on the film. Let's
well, in all fairness, the film is shitting on the film.
Okay, the idea is it's a young guy that's part of the Yakuza,
mm-hmm.
and the boss of the Yakuza, the main, like the godfather type character, we find out is a vampire, and that supposedly true Yakuza members are all vampires,
mm-hmm. but none of the other people in his crew were.
Sure. Yeah. True, but they weren't true Yakuza. He was.
But why didn't he make any true Yakuza members?
Yeah, it does seem odd that like true Yakuza was, but like nobody was. So really, it just seemed like true vampires are vampires. But most of the Yakuza wasn't at all.
No, he was the only one.
Yeah. Okay, so let's start with our overall thoughts of this film.
Well, I will say, okay, Takashi Miike. I was like, hell yes, this is going to be awesome, right? Yes.
Well, I mean, for the people at home that don't know Takashi Miike's work, Takashi did Audition. What was the one that we watched that was part of that series, the horror movie ones?
Masters of Horror, he did Imprint. What else? Ichi the Killer,
yes.
He did Happiness of the Katakuris, which probably not really as big of a draw. But yeah, I haven't seen a million Takashi Miike movies. He did one segment in Three Extremes, but it was one of the least interesting ones.
Well, he's...
I've seen have all been great.
He's in Eli Roth's Hostel as mm-hmm. he's the Japanese businessman that walks out and says... When the young guy asks him something, he says... I forgot what he said. It's something about like, oh, it's mind blowing, or it's something like that, or
I don't know. Yeah,
yeah, but he's Japanese like, business.
I've killed people in there. Yeah, not even a good line. But But yeah, I mean, compared to like his overall output, I haven't seen half at all of that. But I mean, he's done a lot of just amazing films. I've just, you know, basically seen a lot of the hits. Oh, he did Visitor Q. I didn't.
Okay.
But yeah, but he does kind of do some odd cerebral type stuff, make some odd choices.
I did a little prep last night for this, and I read some of the interviews he did going up to this film. And he talked about, first of all, he did two movies. He released two movies in 2015. He usually releases on average three movies a year that he directs. He's currently working on a film adaptation of the manga and Dark Horse adapted it years ago called A Blade of the Immortal. It's kind of a samurai. It's kind of a samurai meets kind of like dark magic manga. And I used to read it all the time in the late 90s. One of my favorites. But he discussed that the Japanese film market is turning into the same as the American, where they're only basically adapting mangas or sequel property. They're not really into doing anything else. So that's what he's finding himself doing now. So he's definitely become more of a genre director these days. Because the last thing I think he was able to get out over here was the Harry Carey movie, about the samurai that commits suicide.
Oh yeah, Death of a Samurai or something.
Yeah.
He did, but 13 Assassins was kind of cool.
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, he's.
But yeah, I mean, dude's done almost 100 movies.
Yeah, yeah. So,
anyway, 99 according to IMDb. so really close.
But yeah, and so I was expecting something to be much more Itchy the Killer versus, I don't know, Machine Girl. You know, because normally that's not his style. And this one, obviously, it's not as batshit crazy as Machine Girl. But there's so many things in this film that make literally no sense.
I would almost disagree. I think it's damn near on the same level as Machine Girl in its own way.
It's not as vulgar.
Well, because that's Takashi. I mean, I don't think he does vulgarity very much. But I haven't seen Itchy in a while. Now I want to watch it again.
God, that's an uncomfortable movie.
Yeah, but
he just does like crazy violence.
Yeah,
he does that so well.
But this has Yayan Ruyan, who is he's the short guy with kind of the long curly hair. He plays kind of that nerdy character that's a real badass in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's also in The Force Awakens, and he's in The Raid and The Raid 2. And he's one of the up-and-coming guys in the Asian market as far as actors go. He's really good, especially with action. I mean, he's a hell of a martial artist. So there's that.
But I mean, honestly, I don't know if it was just me, but there were so many just like, what the hell is even happening in this film moment?
Note number one is I put, was this a fever dream? No. Did I actually watch what I think I watched? Yes, I did.
It just was like super uneven to me because like, I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a comedy or if it was supposed to be not a comedy.
I think it's a comedy. I'm pretty sure.
The beginning is very straight, right?
Yeah.
Like very straight. And then there's one scene where things start getting really, really strange. And then it loops around like so absurd towards the end that you're like, this just has to be a comedy, right?
Yeah. I mean, where do you start? I'd say the Kappa Goblin is the most. I mean, here's my note for the Kappa Goblin. And I wrote this the night I watched it. It is an orgy of Yoshi, Michael Jackson, and Toucan Sam.
And to me, it reminded me of the Philly Fanatic.
but kappas are real like real Japanese demon things.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's a matter of fact, they were the inspiration for the Koopa from Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, I keep saying like this whole film is like taking from Super Mario because where is my note?
I remember Super Mario being a vampire.
Well, no, it's like whenever like the whole civilian Yakuza, like if you drink civilian's blood, it's the equivalent of drinking like a 5-hour energy. But if you drink Yakuza, it's like a mushroom from Super Mario Brothers, you know,
but it said it wasn't nourishing.
Yeah, well, he says that the civilians weren't nourishing.
No, he said that the Yakuza weren't.
I thought they were nourishing.
Mm-mm. He said okay, you can't survive on Yakuza alone.
Okay, maybe I got my notes wrong.
That's why the boss had to have that like stable of people.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, and by the way, worst sushi bar ever. You know.
Yeah.
Dude, that female leader, when she starts draining like her the ear,
captain.
What happened there? Like
I don't know.
Left to get a drink for just a second, like literally ran 5 seconds left. I heard her say like my mind is dripping or something, and then
yeah, she went crazy.
Go get. Like get a drink and come back, and she's just like spewing just tons and tons of like white shit out of her. Yeah,
that's
ear.
What happened.
Yeah, so, that's all. That's,
you didn't miss nothing. Anything.
They don't okay. explain it.
And yeah, then she, well, I couldn't tell later whenever she's watering like with milk, like watering the plants that turn into the little dancing children.
Let's stop at that. I mean, that was my shop teacher from junior high. That's probably his fantasy, you know?
Oh God.
Which is bizarre. It's just a small garden that all of a sudden sprouts these, you know, she imagines they sprout these little, you know, 5-year-old boys that are in a diaper.
Good Lord, Bill. We've had a relatively fine podcast. We get you on one episode and you're throwing this out
is,
all these.
This is actually the second. And, this is, yeah. Oh, well, I don't think the first one was recorded.
Well, one of these was about Rodney. The other one's about a junior high teacher that actually did get picked up for that. So
really?
Yeah. Straight up.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Huh. So, yeah. That's
horrible, Bill. I'm sorry for your childhood.
I didn't take shop, so don't worry.
Sure you didn't.
And so every time I get near a belt sander, I get an erection.
So I thought...
Yeah, but
when she had all the water in her head and stuff like that, it was going to be a reference to something the Kappa was doing.
Exactly.
Because,
yes.
Because Kappas usually have like, I don't know if you know anything about the mythology behind them, but their heads
turn you into water heads.
Yeah. Their heads are no, I mean, their heads are usually filled with water. Right. And they don't have a top of their skull. And the way you defeat them is you knock them over and all their water spills out of their head.
So they're giant Kool-Aid men.
Basically.
Nice.
But with turtle shells. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was going to have something to do with that, but no, she just had water in her head, and it wasn't just she was crazy because other people saw it and stuff. And yeah. I don't know. It was just weird. The whole thing was uneven. Like, I feel like this was the sequel to a movie that I didn't see.
Well, it's a manga. So I think if we had
I thought looked about all that, over the place for it.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
It's a manga from what I understand, but I think if we could have read that, maybe if you read it, then watch the film, maybe we would have understood what they left out. Kind of like the people that bitch about Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's just I didn't hate it. It's just it was a wild ride. Up till the last second of film, there is no, you know, denouement. It is just, boom, you're a full-on balls-of-the-wall, you know, barebacked, and then it ends.
Yeah, it made literally no sense. I didn't hate it, but I wouldn't watch it ever again. You?
Yeah.
I mean, I just wish there was more explanation, you know, because, like, they go, like, there's this guy that comes up who's, like, a Western priest, right, who, with a weird...
Like a pilgrim, almost.
Yeah, with the weird, like, Puritan neck frills, right?
And two of the characters only speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like he comes up to the boss, and he's like, hey, you need to come back to the
syndicate.
The syndicate. It's like, I wanted to know what the syndicate was.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, are they just a bunch of colorful characters that go around doing ninja stuff? Because if so, I want to see that movie. Because this one was kind of disappointing, but, and then some of it didn't make sense. Like going back to the Puritan dude, he's the one that shot that little boy's father.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then the little boy was like on a revenge mission to kill the captain, like the lady with the water in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Why? She had nothing to do with it. I mean, sure, she paid off the, or she told the syndicate people where the boss was. And so you could think, okay, by proxy, then it's her fault. But that's like a huge stretch.
Right? Did you pick up that the little boy was actually played by a little girl?
No.
Yeah, that was a big thing in a lot of the reviews. Was she's a pretty well-known actress over there, and she was playing a boy for the first time. I think that's something that happens over there.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit. But yeah, that was a girl.
I kind of hated that character.
I did too. I was hoping that the dad would take the axe to the kid.
Yes. I was like, is this going to happen? Is it going to happen?
I did laugh really hard, though, whenever it showed his back tattoo.
Yes.
That was the best part of the movie for me, for some reason.
I love
it. Was like a cartoon bat.
Oh, yeah. I guess you laughed real easily this week between the comic and this.
Yes. I'm a very happy person, Craig.
And the big bad guy in this film is a plushie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This film was a turd. I'm going to go out and say it. Like, it was better than the comic, but it was, I don't know. I did not really enjoy this at all. And this is the worst Takashi Miike movie I've ever seen.
Oh, I mean, aside from Imprint, when they throw the abortion into the river, that totally freaked me out.
Yeah, but at least Imprint, like, it made you feel something. Yeah, it was disgust for an entire hour, but it made you feel something. It was one that I got on Blu-ray. But
this one, I would say, I would watch it to show people some of the absurd moments.
Yeah, just kind of go to the last 25 minutes.
Or you got to see the Kappa Goblin when it shows up. I mean, that's like, because I keep telling people, I'm like, yeah, it looks like Yoshi and Toucan Sam double team Michael Jackson, and that's what you got.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
So yeah, and the Pilgrim. It's interesting when he shows up.
Yeah, I was really interested in that guy.
Yeah, the Pilgrim and the little guy from Star Wars. I'd like to have seen a movie just with them going around and doing weird shit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, honestly, if it wasn't a Miike movie, I would have liked it more. I think my expectation preceded it a little bit. And I also, it braced me for a much different film than this one. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
So what do you rate it?
Out of 5, I would go 2.5, maybe 3. No, 2.5.
I was going to go 2.5 as well.
I'll go 2.5.
Well, cool.
Cool.
Total.
Unanimous. Unanimously average.
Nice.
Bill comes just on. Like the Bill comes on and the show's totally mediocre.
Last time we had a guest, we had like triple fives.
Oh yeah, Bill. That reminds me. I don't know if we ever talked about it. Did you ever watch Ghost Watch? I know you lived in the UK for a while.
No, I didn't. I lived in the UK in the late 80s.
Yeah, this was 92.
Yeah, so I wasn't there.
Dude, watch Ghost Watch.
Okay.
That's what we should have covered this week.
Ghost Watch again.
Yeah. Bob was on that episode, and it was amazing.
So is his Peru trip episode completely lost to the ether?
Yeah, it may surface one day.
It'll show up.
Okay. I still want to hear it.
It's bizarre. I'll put it that way. It gets real bizarre. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all that we got this week. Sorry we didn't bring you on for a better episode, Bill.
I had fun, man.
I think it was fitting.
Just because I made fun of your beer drinking exploits on...
Hey, Craig's doing that now.
Yeah, dude, I am getting into the smarmy beer.
Oh, man.
I love it. But the difference is I still love Miller Lite. But yeah, I had the good, the bad, and the Unidragon.
What? Oh, is that that's a clown shoes, right? Or is it Victory? Yeah.
It's a clown shoes. I had one of those and one of another clown shoes beer on Christmas Eve, and oh my God, I was so hungover on Christmas.
Yeah, clown shoes are rough.
Yeah. It was like they go down so smooth, but they're freaking like 15% alcohol.
Yeah.
Damn.
And so I was like, oh my God. Plus it was like one of the 22 ounce, but
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, no, like, yeah, I'm getting into the real, real smarmy beer, but still the best thing I've ever had was like, I think my favorite beer is just the $6 Trader Joe's Stockyard Stout.
Yeah. I was drinking some Left Hand Milk Stout yesterday.
Yeah, I like it. I don't love it. It's a little too uncarbonated. Brian, let's start a beer podcast.
Okay. And we can just have Bill on every once in a while to make fun of us. Keep us in check.
Done.
But all right, man. Well, I guess is it.
Bill, do you have anything you want to plug for Longbox?
For Longbox Small Talk, this is... Oh, wait, sorry, wrong show. Just listen to Longbox Small Talk. I'm sorry about Rodney. There's nothing I can do. Listen to B&E. I don't know. Go have
a happy New Year.
Have a happy New Year. Have fun. Be young. Drink Pepsi.
Oh, this is our last episode of the year, huh?
Yeah. I hope everyone has a great New Year Eve. I don't know.
We'll be back with our... best of 2015, right?
Yeah, I think that is next time.
Bill, quick, what's your best movie of 2015?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, there's the catch. Our list is best films of 2015 that aren't Mad Max Fury Road.
No joke. That's gonna be hard. I know. I'd have to go back because Mad Max, I was really excited to see that. And at the same time, I was not expecting it to be that good.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Me too. It totally took me off guard. It was so amazing. But all right. Well, I guess y'all have a safe and fun New Year's Eve. And we will see you next week with our top five of 2015.
And like go on like Twitter and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Hit us up. B&E Pod. You know the drill. All right. We're out.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by BMoviesandEbooks.com.